Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. That means Christmas Day is this week. And when you think about it, the first lesson for today from Micah, you have one of the clearest prophecies about Jesus. And it makes sense that we would read about Bethlehem, because we know what's going to happen soon in Bethlehem as we celebrate the birth. But then we get to Hebrews. Now, if you go ahead to Luke, that makes sense because Mary is carrying baby Jesus in her womb, and she meets with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. Her pregnancy is further along than Mary. John is just that much older, a few months older than Jesus himself. And here you have this message about what is happening, and the baby in the womb leaps for joy. And that makes sense for the fourth Sunday of Advent, because the baby in Mary is born this week. So what are we doing with Hebrews? Hebrews tells the Christmas narrative from a completely different platform. It's still God's Word, but it's a narrative that speaks from first the Old Testament view and then to the coming of Jesus. And then it takes you to Good Friday and Easter morning and the Ascension. It's all right here in this little lesson. The letter to the Hebrews helps us understand the connection for us in terms of Old Testament sacrifices. Why is it we don't do them anymore today? And the answer is, it goes way beyond the fire code, okay? You know, because burnt offerings and sacrifices and all the ordinances about having a fire like that, and then the animal sacrifices, all the ordinances from the health institutes and everything else of government, it goes beyond that. In the Old Testament, they made animal sacrifices, grain offerings, and burnt offerings, and they did that as a payment of sin. But they had to do it again and again and again. Why? Because they were spiritually sick again and again. We call it sin. And so in the scriptures, it tells us that there was the Day of Atonement, which was one of the most holy days in the Old Testament. And on that day, they would sacrifice. And there you would have the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the people. Aren't you glad we don't do that one? You know, but there they would offer it. But it wasn't complete. What it did accomplish, according to Hebrews, is it tells us that God made his face available in the sense that God shined on his people. That sacrifice pointed to what Jesus would do in time, in actual history. But it tells us in this text that God wasn't overjoyed with the sacrifices. He wasn't as excited about this sacrifice. It did not pay for sin. It did not cleanse the people. They kept doing these sacrifices because they were under the law. This was the rule. We do things today under law. As kids, we have to clean up our room. That's the law. Okay? As kids, you know, we have to ask for the car keys until we buy our own. That's the law. You know, and on and on. You have a list in your house. We had a list in ours growing up. I have a list with my daughters when they were growing up. You know, and those are the rules. And the rules in the Old Testament applied. And as God ruled over heaven and the earth, God was free to make the law. And so they offered sacrifices. But this text says God didn't get overjoyed. He had no pleasure in them. But there was a sacrifice to come, and this is what it's talking about. It changes to the voice of Christ himself about a body you prepared for me. Now you have to scratch your head on that one. It says, wait a minute. We know Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We know the rest of the creed, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified. When was the body prepared? And the answer is that in the scriptures, we are reminded that God planned to send his son before the foundation of the world was made. In the scriptures, we learn that God gave a promise to Adam and Eve about the seed to come. And in the scriptures, throughout all of time, through the prophets, God unfolded more and more information. He unpacked it, if you will, so that they would know that Jesus, the Messiah, was coming. So also in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. He received the righteousness of Christ by faith. And again, it reminds us that it was faith in Christ, not the function of sacrifice that saves. It was faith in Christ, faith in God, that gave life and salvation. So here at Christmas, as this week, Christ is born and we celebrate that birth, we are reminded of the whole story, the narrative, that the promise of Jesus goes back before Adam and Eve. That the promise about Christ continued through all the time of the prophets. And now, his birth is announced, and he is to be born. And Jesus himself is looking back in history, in time, and he talks about this when he says, "Behold, I have come to do your will." This is verse 7. "I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." And then again in verse 10, "And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." So you have the Old Testament promises, you have Jesus coming, his birth and fulfillment, you have the cross, the resurrection, his ascension, and it puts it all together for us as to why this time of the year is so special to us. Why this time of the year? It's not about what's under the Christmas tree at home. It's not about whether we'll have a white Christmas. It's not about all the things that we like physically and visually. It's about this gift of God that pleases God, that does something you and I can't do. My works are imperfect. How about yours? I received forgiveness of sins a few moments ago, and before the day is out, the probability that I will have sinned again is pretty good. I may have a mean thought. It sounds strange, but, you know, I may have a selfish thought. It happens so quickly. And yet, we don't offer lambs and we don't offer grain sacrifices. We know that we have been reconciled, that is, united with God again through the grace of our Lord and Savior, who was once a babe in the manger. we are reminded that Christmas is not about just gifts. It's about the gift. It's about the gift that brings forgiveness of sins, the gift that takes away our guilt and shame, the gift that gives hope, life, and salvation. Not a bad gift, is it? And so for you and I, Christmas is awesome. Now suppose you didn't have a tree, you couldn't afford it. Suppose the family's not coming, they can't get here. Suppose there's no turkey, if that's what you're used to on Christmas Day. Suppose on and on about the attractions that stimulate our mind and sometimes reach into our heart. Suppose all of those were gone. Suppose you were in a nursing home, forgotten. Suppose, in a sense, you would say you had nothing left. You still have this. God gives the best gift ever. God gave Jesus, born of Mary, the body, to fulfill the law in our place, to die instead of us on the cross, to rise again, to show us that he's the first fruits of the resurrection, and to remind us that that's the gift he's giving. Christmas is special. No longer do we offer sacrifices. Once and for all, it's made. And so we give thanks this day that Jesus said, I will do your will. Remember in the garden? Not my will, but thy will be done. Yeah. He says that and does it better than any of us. How many times have you ever wanted to do that which was right and you didn't succeed? You promised not to get mad. You promised not to get impatient in the line at the store. You promised to treat the clerks, the sales staff, with care and respect. And boy, when that sale item wasn't there and you was hoping for it, all of a sudden everything went out the window. Jesus did God's will perfectly. Once and for all. He's better than our cough syrup that sometimes doesn't take the tickle away. But he is the one who takes the sin of the world and in its place gives life, hope, forgiveness. Amen.